Thank you. It's my privilege at this time to introduce you, Dr. A. Ray Stanford. Dr. Stanford is the president and the founder of Florida Bible College in Miami, Florida. He was a pilot for our country in World War II, was awarded the Distinguished Flying Cross and the Air Medal twice. His squadron received the Presidential Unit Citation. Dr. Stanford has been all over the world talking to high school and college students. He used to race motorcycles right here in Daytona Beach. He wore his barefoot and surfed and really speaks the language of our generation. Here's Dr. Stanford.
I can't raise my hand. Go look first. How many here on steel? Now, remember, in the examination time, you're not stealing information, you're just checking the paper, of course. But how many, get honest, to be honest, never have you stolen as much as a penny in your life? Would you raise your hand? I can't raise my hand. Let's go look further. Now, here on the beach at night, park with your girlfriend, how many can honestly say never, I'm going to stop right now. Actually, I like to know the kind of people I'm speaking to. Now, I know you want to liars and thieves here. I'm with it. Somebody's going to say this man will give us his religious talk now. No, I'm not religious. Religions are man-made. Women make up a lot of them, too. In fact, they make up a lot of things. False hair, false eyelashes, false fingernails. I could go on. However, I'll tell you this. I believe the Bible. I believe it from cover to cover. I even believe the cover is the Holy Bible. But now, I'll find you right if you don't believe it. You can say, thank God I'm an atheist if you want to. Find you right. Okay. You say you shouldn't mention the name of Jesus Christ? Well, if we shouldn't mention the name of Ho Chi Minh. I'll find you right and say you're. And I don't care whether you're Catholic, Protestant, Jewish. In fact, if I'm Jewish, I'd be very proud of it. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the true God. I'm with him. I thank God in America we have a freedom of worship, freedom of religion, freedom of speech, right to bear arms. I want to see it just kept this way. I really do. But I'll tell you what I believe, and I'm not ashamed of what I believe. We're not poking anything down your throat. You're of age. But many people want to talk against the Bible. I can talk for it, teaching it. But I'll say this. It's a kid. I was raised on the wrong side of the tracks. In fact, I was raised both sides of the wrong. And my mother made me go to church, though. And all I heard in church was, Ray, you're going to help you smoke, you're going to help you drink, you're going to help you chew. So finally, I'm going to go to hell anyway. I'm going to live it up. That's where I was helping. There's one fellow I know, Red, and he cut out smoking, he cut out drinking, he cut out girls, and now he's cutting out paper dolls. I need something to say. Well, as far as these things, I'm not interested in that. And I hate war, but I'd fight another one for you to have the freedoms we have. But you know, I became rather agnostic in high school. I'll tell you why. My grandmother made me go to church with her one time when I was 12 years old. She walked me 4 miles barefoot to a church. Some guy was preaching for the name of Brother Die. I was hoping he would. He did two things that impressed me. He shouted, "Repent!" I stuck behind a big fat one, he scared me to death. I'm 12. And the other thing he said, if God wanted you to smoke, he'd put a smokestack in your head. Now, I've been smoking already for 3 years. I started smoking when I was 9. I've smoked everything from wrapped tobacco, dried up pea vines, coffee. If you think Chesterfield satisfies, you ought to try that. Today, you sissies, you've got to use menthol with marijuana, so when you go high, you keep cool. If you use platformate with LSD, you go 3 miles further. Yes, good. Oh. By There's a sequel to that story. The story told is, because smoking doesn't have anything to do with going to heaven or hell. You'll smoke in hell, I know it's not a story. But the story told this boy, he was hit by a real flash, you know. A truck driver who was smoking a big black cigar, tattooed on his arm, he kind enough to pick him up. He starts that on. You shouldn't smoke. But if God wants you to smoke, put a smokestack in your head. One, if God wanted you to ride, he'd put wheels on you. But you know, when I was in high school, I became an agnostic. You could get me in church. They tried. I'd go Mother's Day or Easter for my mother. I love my mother. She raised me. We were on the wrong side of the tracks because my father left my mother when I was a baby. My father said, I hope to see the day you start on the street. You know something? My mother raised us the hard way. If you'd offered her something, a handout, she would have been insulted. She says, these are my kids. I love them. I'm going to raise them. She's going to raise them to take care of themselves. And if today, though, it's just the opposite, you know, how much would a good one give you? I said, you know, I love my mother. She put me over that many times to let me have it. Tears would come in her eyes, and she'd say it hurts me worse than it does you. I never understood. I understand the scripture now that it's better to give than to receive. Now, let me tell you what happened to me as an agnostic. By the way, I would go around and I'm an agnostic. I was so proud of it. I wouldn't do that anymore. I know the meaning of the word, meaning without knowledge. Sometimes universities do come, I'm an agnostic. I said, I see that. But something happened to me in my own. Take it or leave it, what happened to me. A man tricked me, a friend of mine, into going to a man's home. And I was rather mad because the strongest thing he was serving was orange juice. And I drunk enough whiskey to sink this auditorium. And no ashtrays from a cigarette, and they had a Bible there and all this. And I said, oh, brother. Some of you here probably get scared right now mentioning the Bible. It's funny, folks are scared. What's the trouble? You get the screaming meanies or something? But anyway, I was no ashtray, but I just dumped the ashtray right on the floor. And when he said, sir, would you read this in the Bible? I put smoke right in his face. Right there. But a little curiosity got the best of me. While I was talking one with another, I snuck a peek down here to see what I read. And I read something that shocked me. It contradicted everything I'd ever heard. It said to have eternal life. And it's in the Bible. Whether it's what you believe or not, that's up to you. Just tell me what's there. It said to have eternal life, you've got to be perfect. I'm not far from it. I couldn't raise my hand either. It said to have eternal life, how do you have to be perfect? You can't get it by doing good works, or by joining or working or paying or dipping or strengthening or being spit on. I've done all three. You can't do it this way. To have eternal life, you can't earn it. And it says this eternal life, and let me use this gesture, maybe make it a little bit clearer. Let this hand represent you and me, and this is sin. Now, I know you're a sinner. You already admitted liar and thief. So, but God said, I love you. See, I was called. God hates the sinner. He doesn't. He loves the sinner. God hates the sinner. He hates your sin. He loves you. I was always told God loves bad, hates bad boys, but he loves good boys. Good boys go to him, bad boys go to him. That's not true. There's no such thing as good boys. They're all bad. Don't you girls laugh. Men, I say, if women ever come to you and say, where would you men be without us women? I've got the answer. We'd be back in the garden of eating strawberries. That's where it would be. Listen, I'm not against you girls. I like you. I used to go for blondes, but now I pick black heads. They think blondes have more fun, but black heads get squeezed more. Let this hand represent us again. Here you are, sure you're a sinner. So am I. God said, I love you. Hate your sin, but I love you. Let this hand represent Christ. He's sinless. He's God who took on flesh. I know it so. Whether you believe or not, it's up to you. For me to have eternal life, God said, you've got to be perfect. There's no sin in heaven. It's a perfect place. So he said, I love you so much, here's what I'll do. I'll take that sin off of you, pay for it. Dying, pay for it. Now listen, He did not pay for his sin, it's not a sin, it's a pay for ours. So he said, I'll give you your righteousness. You can go to heaven on the righteousness I'm giving you. I didn't know the Bible said that. And when I saw it, I said, boy, that's pretty good. I'll quote the verse, whether you believe it or not, I'll quote it. For he hath made him to be sin for us, due to no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He made him to be sin for us, due to no sin. We might be made the righteousness of God. Boy, that's great. I read 1 John, you showed it coming. This is John 6:37. God said, I'll never kick you out. John 6:39, never lose you. 1 John 5:13, you can know now you have eternal life because you go to heaven on the righteousness you did. I said, boy, this is great. I asked a question. I said, do you mean to say that if I believe Jesus Christ is the Lord, that he died on that cross for all I do wrong, if I really believe that, do you mean to say I can live as I please and still go to heaven when I die? I won't have to change the way I was living. He looked at me with the kindest eyes. I'll never forget them. And he said, sir, he said, that's a crude way to put it. But God loves you that much. Boy, I had to take a while. I said, that's for me. No arms, you should wrap around. But it's a little difficult. It's hard for me to grasp. It seemed too simple. I went and bought a Bible. And I was going to study. You see, I studied physics at the University of Tennessee. Analytical chemistry. I prided myself on being somewhat of a scientist. But I find that this Old Testament bore some books. These Hebrew scriptures bore jewels. In the Old Testament, thousands of years ago, God says the earth is round, suspended in space. That there's an empty place in the north. Mount Palomar, 200-inch telescope, tell us the north of the place is empty now, but out of the Bible, no thousands of years ago, they didn't have any telescopes. He says, not once a ground suspended in space revolves around the sun. That showed me in the Old Testament. Well, I began to get a little shook about this thing. So God says, your brass-headed, iron-necked, so I'll pay ahead of time what I'm going to do so you can tell the difference between religion, what men make up, and truth. He said, and I'm quoting Old Testament, God said, I'll come to the earth, take on flesh, take place in Bethlehem, a virgin will conceive, bear a son, his name will be God calling with him, Emmanuel. So he said, even tell us the year that Christ would come. And he said, what he would come for would be to pay for all your sins. Let me quote this, 700 B.C., Isaiah. All we like sheep have gone astray, turned everyone to our own way, but the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. And I said, boy, this is great. I began to scheme. I said, no, I live as I please. Still go down when I die, because the true God loved us, proved it, made a payment for it. So I said, this is great. However, it doesn't work that way. Now, I looked on the Bible to book a rule that kept me from having fun, but that I found out a little different. For example, I've raised three children the hard way, one wife. One of my daughters, Jane, used to run across the street and play with a little girl over there. I didn't mind playing with a girl. Didn't want to get run over. I said, Jane, don't run across the street. Think I'd stop her. Just look better. Across the street. Did I miss the bush? Strip the leaves off of it. I never laid. Ow! Oh, you're a holler, boy. I went home more. It's a well-known history. And you know, this thing, do you think I'd stop her? No, just made her look better. Across the street again. I caught her. You know what I did? The same thing that the true God does. You see, God says when we accept that payment made for us, we become a son, a child of his. And he won't kick us out, he won't lose us, but he'll punish. So I did the same thing. You know, I called her and said, Jane, you've disobeyed me over and over and over. I'm tired of it, so get out of here and go to hell. No. I said, come on in.
No. Get in the house.
Get her in the house. Lay down on the bed. Won't do it. Lay down. If I ain't gonna lay down the right way, you gotta lay down the wrong way, you know. And I get her turned over, you know, and I get my mouth off of him. Yeah. Ah! I come out on stand like that. Better get my belt on her eyes, go for them. But friends, you know why I did that? I hate the brat. That's what I love my daughter. Goodness sake. I just didn't want her to get killed. If my daughter had been killed by a car, my wife and I, for the rest of our lives, would live with this, why didn't you train her? Why didn't you guide her? Why didn't you teach her, you idiot? Why didn't you just let her have her way? Couldn't you at least hold her and train her? God said, wait, because that Bible is not a book of rules to keep you from having fun. You know, we have to think what we call, we're the new generation. There's a generation gap. We have free love today. We have a new morality. We got the status of the soul. Wait a moment, let me say a word about it. Let's take this so-called free love. I was just out in San Francisco. The Hate Sanctuary District, hippie heaven. Boy, that's their heaven. I hate to see their hell. Lying down on the streets, passed out, cold, some of their brains already scrambled. Got newspapers to cover them in the fog at night when you sleep. Come up to me with a shake, begging, not for dollars or heaven, I'm certainly got a nickel, just please, just a nickel. Hey, could you buy me something? Just beg. When I was there, friend, a doctor had put this article in San Francisco Chronicle, and they had published it on a bulletin board there on the Hate Asbury Street. And it was saying, please quit having sex one with another for 1 month so I can cure you of the syphilis. He says, you're killing one another. And friend, that's not free. That's pretty expensive. And it's not love either. A lot of people think so. It's lust. There's a big difference. Today they walk around with signs, these hippies, you know, come up, make love, not war. From the looks of them, I don't think they're capable of either. Friend, if you think the communists have the answer, today we're being brain dirty. Oh, listen, don't do this. Let's have peace. Sure, I want peace. I hate war. I was shot down. I have to know what it is to get shot at. Friend, listen, I'm concerned because we're being brain dirty, not brainwashed. That America's not so good, that capitalism's not so good, but communism is pretty good to help people. And we're pulling these two together. Friends, listen, I was just over behind the Iron Curtain not long ago. And if you think they have the answer, get one gigantic prison. In fact, tonight I'm going to be speaking of rape with our prisoners there. But listen, there's one big prison over there where they fill them all around the whole country to keep the people from leaving. And you ought to see the poverty and the tragedy in the lives that are there. You think communism is the answer. Freedom, they have not even had the freedom of worship. If I said what I've already said in the country, they'd have been getting right away. Friend, listen. Now, I'm concerned about this country. I'm concerned about what the next generation get. Try this. Go home tonight. It's an experiment. Try it. Maybe mow the yard. Maybe eat the dishes, not the dishes. Maybe make up your bed more, sweep the floor or something. Dump the garbage. Few things. Now, of course, this time they're going to look real suspicious. But when your daddy comes home at night, maybe some of you girls could go maybe get his slippers and kind of scratch it here a little bit and rub his shoulders. Maybe then after a while, you can say, Daddy, you love me, I know, because you support me, you feed me, give me money, send me to school, and I know I'm a brat, but I want you to know I love you. Now, you may see a tear coming down his eye. In fact, don't do it. Don't. You may drop it out of a heart attack. But I'll say this, you might not find such a generation gap there.
Well, we got this establishment. The teachers here, yeah, they're like taking away our funds. We got our rights.
Well, friend, listen. Let me say something about the teachers. And if there's any group of people I used to hate, it was two groups. I used to hate teachers and preachers. I hand up both of them all. God, spare me. Listen, let me say a word for them. They're working, and I know this, at far less money than they could on any job in any town in any city. Even a ditch digger today sometimes makes more money than the teacher. Why are they doing it? They have to take more gov from you? People may call about me speaking here in this chapter today and give them trouble. Why are you speaking about Christ for? Why do you want to speak about what you've been for? Speak about the one. They're going to have government trouble and everything else because people won't take a stand for what's right, decent, and honest. And they're trying to train you. They're trying to help you. They're trying to guide you. That's why they're taking less money. Since they're against you. Of course, you might get a bomb or an old crow here and there somewhere. Sure, I remember a teacher I had was a real witch. It says proud on the Berlin factory, concerned. But I'll say that 99% are tremendous, and you ought to realize that. I know that too. I'm concerned about what's happening in our country. It's different than I want. The communists would love to undermine our morals. They know if they can destroy you and get you to ruin yourself, then our country's gone. They want you to feel dumb enough. I'm concerned in the Pueblo. Oh, brother. I'm concerned about our boys in Vietnam. A pilot, a friend of mine, come back and say, you know, Ray, in Vietnam, we could win that war in a month and have the respect in the world, but they won't let us. Said, we go bomb the jungle. Not any target. Said, we come back with a pilot and kid. We put a pane of coconut on our plane. Said, we've got another coconut tree today. I'm concerned yesterday when they shot down one of our planes with 31 men killed. And today, we just, oh, not a special, not a America's changed, my friend. That's an act of war. If I were president of the United States, I guarantee what I would have done It was the minute I was certain that it happened, they had done it. That's Fifth Second as Commander-in-Chief. I had given an order to bomb their first military field, and I'd bomb about 100 planes and say, buddy, if you don't like it, but right after the program, you can the president wants you to have
the party moment, sir.
That's the right to speak, but we appreciate it if you do it on equal time.
If every time any American is ever killed by anyone, the United States of America acts in raw, crude retaliation. Just killed someone else, we might be doing one of two things. One, we might be doing what the enemy wants us to do. He is our enemy. And maybe he wants us to get into another war in the Pacific. Secondly, we might be doing something else to America. We might be bringing ourselves down to the level of the law of the jungle. I just kill you, you kill me, we're both animals. I'm an American, I am not an animal.
He hates war, and I do too. I know what it is. I was shot down over Munich, March the 12th, 1945, and I know what it is to be killed. I've seen my friends blown up in a plane right beside me. I know what it is to get shot, and I've seen many murdered. But Ho Chi Minh's murder business, read it, Reader's Digest. And if someone comes in my home, I'm not for war, but comes in my home and wants to rape my wife and kill my children, I have a right to defend myself. That's all I say. And if there's anything I want, it's peace. Peace. But friends, we have in America tried to have peace so many times in so many ways. I'm not a warmonger. But we must defend ourselves or we lose the respect of everybody. I remember a big fat fellow who had a lot of money and father very wealthy in my school. But people used to come punch him in the belly and make him give him a dollar. And they did it almost every day so they could get money. And he had to go through this life, this way. Friends, I know what it is. As a kid, I was too small, and people wanted to pick on me until once I got tired of it, and I picked up board sticks and stones and everything and let them know they're going to have trouble if they bother me, and they never bothered me anymore. The only thing I'm saying in this country, we was founded upon Patrick Henry when he stood up and said, give me liberty or give me death. But now it's just give me liberty. In fact, they've changed that to just give me. I remember Nathan Hale, who stood up and made this statement. He said, I regret only have one life to give for my country. He refused a blindfold. They were shooting him before a firing squad. And today things are different, friend. That's all I'm saying. They've changed. Power is flying a U-2 airplane, paid $30,000 a year over Russia, was shot down. And his statement's a classic one. He said, I regret only have one life to give. No, no. He said, I didn't know what I was doing. If I had it, I wouldn't have done it. I'm just saying our fiber's changing. I'm saying this too. Now, if you don't like what I've said, you ought to be glad to hold back. I'll give you one more thing. The Bible has said that five powers rule the world from Daniel's time till now. Now, whether you believe it or not, it's up to you. It's for you to study. It's an open book. Take it or leave it. We're not pushing anything on you. I'm just saying this is it. I can talk and comment anything you want, and you can disagree or agree. I'm just saying at least I have a right to say this. God made this statement to Daniel, said, five powers that rule the world. And he said, Babylon, what they did, that's history. He said, the Medes and Persians would, that's history. He named them by name and in order. He then said that Greece would rule the world, they did, Alexander the Great. He said there'd be two more, Rome. He said in the time that Rome ruled, that the Lord would come to this earth. And when he came to this earth, he said this. He said, in that time, I'll be rejected by the race that I take on, so I'll scatter them over the face of the earth. Now, whether you believe it or not, you know that happened. Whether you believe the Bible or not, you know that history, but it was written ahead of time. He said this. He said, in the last days, there's going to be one more world ruling power, and they'll say they'll bring in peace and abundance. It'll be a one world government for the one world church, for the one world court, and one world currency. It's in the scriptures. He said that they'll say that it's going to bring in peace, and we need this one world to have peace. But God said there'll be no peace because it'll be anti-God and anti-Christ. He described communism perfectly and socialism. Now, let me say this. God said, when I come back that next time, the generation living then, he said, the generation, when the Jew goes back to the land, he says, the land will be a desert now. They'll fight for it, but they'll make it blossom like a rose. He said, when that takes place, he said, the generation living then will be living when this world conquest by this supposedly promising peace and abundance will take place. And you're living in that generation. Whether you accept it or not, I'm saying, I can say it. Look, you can see it. It'll be up to you. I'm concerned because I happen to love this country. I remember a time when I used to be ashamed of Jesus Christ, but you're looking at a man who's no longer ashamed of Jesus Christ. You're looking at a man who's no longer ashamed of America. And I'll say this. When I was shot down over Munich, March the 12th, 1945, they knocked out two engines and turned it on its back, and I headed straight for Munich, the great beer city. And I've drunk enough whiskey to sink this building. God says, go to it, Greg, get all you want. Listen, you know what went through my mind? I knew I had eternal life. There was no question. I had never told my crew how to have eternal life. Never. I was ashamed to stand up for what was right and decent. I was another bum. A friend, I told God this. I said, God, if you get me out of this mess, I'm going to tell people how to have eternal life. We'll tell it like it is. The decision's up to you. Friend, I said, I'm going to at least take a stand for what's right and decent and honorable. And I want America to do the same. I want you to fight for my freedoms and protect my freedoms, and I want to protect yours. This is why I began teaching religion in school. Yes, I am. Because you've opened it up for every cul-de-sac in the world. But you're of age. We're getting growing dirty so much against it. But if one person says one thing for it, sometimes they get mad. Friend, if you disagree with the means or methods, you have a right to. We can elect our presidents, we'll abide by it. I'm already saying that the Bible is an unusual book in predicting these things ahead of time. Take their lead. Personally, I think. I know this on my way down in that B-24 over Munich. It bothered me because of the way I had been living. And God wasn't kicking me out. He said, come on in. I didn't want to go. And I am living a life that my days are numbered. I know this. But I'd rather say I took a stand for what's right and decent and honorable. Whether people like it or not, they put me in Reagan if they want to. I'm going there now voluntarily. But I know that when I came home after the war, my brother, whom I love dearly, who died of cancer in the hospital on Miami Beach, and I held his hand when he died, I never once told him that God loved him, that he paid for all he had done wrong. I knew this verse, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I knew that verse, but I didn't know the meaning. I didn't understand it. It's simple, but I just didn't miss it. God didn't say, I love this, what I was taught. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, who's ever joined, worked, faith, dipped, sprinkled, spit on, and let's say that. It says, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. And he said, when you believe this, you won't perish, you'll have everlasting life. Personally, I believe it. Personally, I accept it. But this is America, you have your choice. I'm going to pray now. I can pray, you can pray if you want to, you don't have to. In fact, I'm going to pop my head and close my eyes when I pray. I reverence the Lord that much. You don't have to, remember. No one's saying you have to. I'm just saying if you want to join me, you can. If you don't, it's all right. In fact, if you want to leave, it's all right. The only thing I'm saying is what I believe. You have a right to believe, and I'll respect your rights, friend. I have to love you enough to respect your rights in these things. But I'm going to pray right now. If you want to join, you can. Now, Father, we thank you for our great country, and we pray for our president, our State Department, our Supreme Court. We pray they could all know of your great love and what you've done for us, and give us honest, godly government and integrity. That we could have our respect before the world, that we stand for things that are right, and not put up with a tyrant who constantly steals and kills and rapes and murders. We thank you for what our country was founded on, that even the first textbook in the school was the Bible. The fathers no longer. But we do pray, Father, for today, for these many teenagers in the school, each and every student. Some got a pretty heavy heart. Perhaps some of them maybe with a fouled up life. Let them see that you love them and make a payment for all they do wrong. They can confess it to thee, get squared away, and be treated as one of your children. Chase them when they do wrong, sure. Guided by these good rules in the book. Be with the teachers. We thank you for their sacrifices, that they're trying to train and to help people, and they're not trying to be against people, working less money. Be with the principal who has to make many decisions, Father, for things that are right to affect so many and not under so many pressures. Father, we just pray for our country, that we can keep the freedoms we have until you come. That we could protect the right for others to live a decent life, an honorable life, a godly life, without being in danger of thugs and thieves and murder and rape on our streets. We pray for every individual here, for the privilege, Father, of just being here. We thank you for this one who came up and disagreed with what we say. And Father, we're grateful that in this country we have a right to. And I fight for that right to, Father, you know. Even though we disagree, we ought to disagree in love and consideration one for another. Bless the students, bless the school. We ask it in Jesus' precious name and to glorify him and nobody else. Amen. What I've done takes courage, don't you think it doesn't? But I've found that courage is not the fear that says it's prayer to go ahead and do what's right. But you really, you don't know how you encourage them. But they give a standing ovation to the things that are right now. But whether you agree with me or whether you don't, and I'm so grateful for you. God bless you. I love you.